What's up, what's up? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champion. Appreciate y'all checking out and listening to this clip on Inside the Green Room. Be sure to tune in to more Inside the Green Room on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Stay tuned.
There has been some celebrations going on in the city, or there will be, because the New York Liberty won an WNBA championship. It was the first basketball championship for the state of New York outside of Syracuse, or if you really wanted to count college, is in over 50 years. And Danny, I just think it's disappointing because the WNBA has had, in my opinion, and maybe by most people's opinion, its most successful year ever in terms of viewership, sure, excitement, social media engagement. And yes, obviously there was the Caitlin Clark effect for sure. There was the Angel Reese effect for sure. But as many people predicted, just by the sheer fact of them coming into the league, made a lot of people more aware that, yo, Nafisa Collier is a baller. Yo, Arika Ogunbowale can hoop. Yo, Deanna Stewart, Jonquel Jones. Oh, DeJuana Bonner in Connecticut, Alyssa Thomas. Oh, it allowed people to truly see. Yeah, it allowed people to truly see the talent that is out there. And I just think it's a damn shame. It's a damn shame that the Liberty won, and the first discussion was the Minnesota Lynx got robbed of a title. It wasn't, this was a beautifully played series. This was super competitive. What a great year. No, the sentiment was let the players decide the game. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm a Liberty fan. I'm going to the parade on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bad call. It was a bad call. The Liberty definitely got the benefit of a bad call.
So my question is, I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch the game. I saw the call, but was there more than just that leading up to that play where Minnesota had more in control? Because I feel like what they're saying is it wasn't just that call. They were saying it was a multitude of calls throughout the game, and the differentiation, the disparity of free throws between the teams was unbelievably uneven.
It was uneven. The fact that Nafisa Collier didn't take one free throw at all, despite the fact she had a multitude of field goal attempts. I think it was the first time in her career she shot that many field goal attempts and never got at least one free throw attempt. I think it definitely was concerning. It was a back and forth game, so it wasn't necessarily like if I was a Lynx fan, I'd be upset, man, because the game was physical, like most elimination games are, and it just felt like the Lynx were getting more penalized for being physical than the Liberty were. And it doesn't help that Sandy Brondello, the head coach from the New York Liberty, there was audio of her saying, if they hit you, sell the call, embellish the call. Like, there's audio from that, from the huddle, which I think every coach probably tells their team, embellish the call. If you're getting hit, you have to. It's part of the game. I don't think Lynx fans are wrong for saying they got robbed, but I would, Cheryl Reeve, the head coach of the Minnesota Lynx, I think she did the league a disservice. And I understand her first service is to the Minnesota Lynx and their fan base. I understand that. But I think she did the league a disservice because when she got that microphone after they lost, she blatantly said, they stole this shit from us. We should have won this game. The referees decided the game for us and not the players. She said she didn't care how it would come out. She was going to speak her mind. And I don't blame her, but I think as an ambassador for the WNBA, she set a bad tone for what was going to come out of that game. And I think that's just unfortunate, even though, again, I don't blame her.
Yeah, there's some times where you got to take the high road and see the bigger picture for things. But when you're a competitor, man, it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm right there with her because it's like, yo, the principles, the purity of the game, we're losing. We're missing out on some of the things that are important here. And obviously, in the grand scheme of things, it is a money thing. It's a business, and you want to support that. But it's like, we worked our asses off all year long for this. I think they smoked game one, right? Liberty did, Smoked game one. So ultimately, I think that they're a better team. But they didn't. We're not better this series overall. They should have. If they didn't smoke game one, they wouldn't be in this situation. You know what I'm saying? But because you smoked game one, and you had this was the last game of the series, your best players did not shoot well. So that
five of 34 combined between Sabrina Nescu and Breonna Stewart. 5 of 34.
you deserve to lose. And sometimes the better team does lose. I've been in situations where we're the better team. We didn't overcome the certain obstacles, and certain times you felt like things were taken away from you. But yes, they probably deserve to lose this one. So I'm with her. She, you know, our girls fought their ass off. They were the underdog, and they showed that they proved they should have been champions this year. And because certain things the league might want to see, or because of the brand of the league, this looks better for it. The market, you know, there might be certain things with the bigger market.
Yeah, but that's conspiracy theory. And you can't suspect that. You can't speculate that unless you got
it's not
that.
A conspiracy if it's true.
But we don't know if it's true. That's too toxic.
Oh, we
bro.
Do. We yeah. do. No, we've seen the documentaries of the referees gambling paid, and we know when it comes to a series, and it's like, if you're the team that they don't want to see in the next round, you better be twice as better than the other team to be able to win that series, because they don't want to see the lower seeded teams win, or you know, they don't want to see a finals with Indiana and New York. They want to see New York and Boston, Philly, New York. They don't want to see Cleveland and Orlando in those type of games. So when you're the underdog team, you got to be just as good, if not better, than your best, or twice as good as the opponent, because you're going to get short of stake. If you're up 2-1 or up 2-0, you better believe that whistle is turning. It's not a conspiracy. Everybody knows this. Everybody talks about it openly. So going into that building, the odds are against you. You have to be twice as good, even that much better. And I understand you felt it was taken away from you. And you have every right to speak your mind, because your girls deserve to be champions. But yes, in the grand scheme of things, us on the outside looking in, she maybe it would have been better for the league, but I'm with her. I don't give a damn. Listen, my players should be champions, and they took it from us. You know what I'm saying? There was a cheating situation it seemed like going on. It wasn't just one play. It seemed like it was going on all game.
Yeah, I understand. That's how you, as a competitor, I understand that's how you're going to feel.
Any person would. Pop would do it. Even if our league was shitty and nobody was watching, we could be the worst of the worst. And it's like, this is going to help our league, Pop. We need you to say the guys that beat you were better and deserve to be champions. I don't see him saying that if we felt like we were cheated. If we're cheated, no. Yeah. I don't give a damn what the fuck the league needs or what's the best for the bigger picture. We got cheated, okay? We should be winners.
Yeah, I understand. It's going to get even more interesting in the next 12 months for the WNBA. A lot of people are going to be excited, not just for college football, I mean women's college basketball, but Paige Bueckers should be in the league by next year. And obviously Paige Bueckers is an absolute bucket coming out of UConn. But what also is going to be very interesting, Danny, is that the WNBPA is opting out of their current CBA. And so if they don't come to an agreement by the end of next WNBA season, there will be a lockout. And it's going to be I'm going to find the negotiation so fascinating, because on one end, the WNBA was able to get record viewership. They have, I would assume, record social media engagements. I know for a fact that the betting handle for WNBA games hit all-time high this year. No more people bet on the WNBA than ever before. So everything's trending upwards. So I think the women are probably, this is probably a good time to strike for the women. But at the same time, if you are a part of, if you're a stakeholder in the WNBA, if you're one of the owners, you're probably saying to yourself, well, it's about time. I've been investing in this for a while, and now you want to come take more of the pot? After we've, as a stakeholder, made such an investment that has yet to really give me back a financial return, I've been investing for XYZ long and putting my faith into this league. And now that we're not even in the green yet, but the second we're starting to see some positive momentum, now y'all want more money? How about the people who've invested in y'all from off the rip? It's going to be fascinating. I think both sides have a valid argument. I would love to be a fly on the wall for those negotiations, because I think both sides have a fair point. We'll see how much the players are demanding, how much of the allocation of how much of the BRI, the basketball related revenue they want, and how much the owners are willing to give. I think it's going to be fascinating, Danny.
Yeah, I think so too. I hope it'll be good, man. I'm said that they deserve a lot more than what they've been getting, especially the last couple years.
They do.
And obviously we give a lot of credit to one person, but I honestly think this league, even before that one person got there, there's a lot of great players, a lot of great things happening, and said Hoopers, man. Like, we need to see, they need to be recognized and respected more. You know what I'm saying? Like, this platform, this stage, and it's our job, as you know, from the men's side, to support it just as much as possible. And of course, you know, the other women's sports collectively should be supporting other women's sports the same way. But you know, realistically, this league is a really good league. There's a lot of, I think it should be expanded more. It should be more teams, because there's a lot of players out there.
Two more teams are coming into the mix next year.
Even more, man. There's too much talent out there that are just not playing. I hoop with a girl, and we go to the prisons. We did the Between the Lines. We go inside. She's a killer. She should be in the league. Like, she's that good. Her name is Destiny. Very good. So, like, there's a bunch of people, a bunch of talent out there that are getting waived, cut, or just not playing because it's so limited spaces. But there's a lot of talented girls out there, man. But they deserve, I said, a bigger platform, more viewership, but more TV time. You know, it is summertime. There's not much else going on. So they're being smarter with, I guess, attacking what time periods to be on. They're not competing with the bigger sporting events. So there's no reason why during these times they can't get the same viewership as, you know, what a lot of other sports get during their times of when they're on.
And I think what's interesting too, well, we got to talk about Joel Embiid, but I also think what's interesting as well, Nafisa Collier and Brianna Stewart set up a 3-on-3 league, a 3-on-3 women's basketball league that is going to start, I believe, in early January 2025, where you're going to have some of the best players in the league, Brianna Stewart, Nafisa Collier, Angel Reese, playing in this 3-on-3 league. And I think that's going to help them keep the momentum. But I also think that it could be a fall-safe plan in the event they don't come to an agreement with the WNBA. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, well, we're still
like going to have three? It's like the women's
it's
big
basically
three.
Like the big three, but it's for present day WNBA players.
Yeah, gotcha.
So it's going to be a way for us going to be like, well, okay, guys, if y'all don't give us what we want,
we'll make our own league
until y'all get it right, and we'll make sure our names are still popular. It's savvy move. I think the negotiations are going to be fascinating because at the end of the day, the league is still not profitable yet. So it's, even though it's obviously upticking, it's fascinating. All right, another fascinating thing that's happening in the world of basketball, and maybe not as positive, is Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers. We got a report on Tuesday from Shams Charania that Joel Embiid and Paul George will be missing opening night, and Joel Embiid will be missing the entirety of opening week. And I think, Danny, that has to be a source of frustration for Sixers fans. You hear the news that, oh, Joel Embiid has lost weight this offseason, and he's in his best shape of his life. But then you get the back, then you also get the news, well, Joel Embiid's probably not going to play back-to-backs for the rest of his career. But then he says, I'm not focusing on anything else other than winning a title. And then you see that this offseason, he also signed a long-term contract extension as well. And I'm saying to myself, maybe there's a cynical part of me that says, did he just lock in that deal because he's not sure how it's going to pan out in the end? Let me get my chips now before it's too late. I'm just saying, I would have to be frustrated if I'm a Sixers fan, because this is the beginning of the year. Just had probably just had the best offseason in the history of the franchise. Or one of the best offseasons in the history of the franchise, and you can't even get it started off on the right foot. I will say this, though, Danny. I will say this, though, and I'll let you rock. The one thing that is better, and you were on that team with Nick Nurse and Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi, I think, ended up playing 60 games at most.
I think he missed 62.
You guys were still able to manage that season and play at a high level with or without him, even if you had no idea if he was going to play at all. And I think Nick Nurse is probably uniquely qualified to handle this type of circumstance because of that.
Maybe so. But at the end of the day, man, it's not just Sixers fans, it's NBA fans. This is the start of the season. This is game one. What are we talking about here? And I understand sending back-to-backs, okay, we'll give him leeway, grace, because he had injuries in the past. In the playoffs, they need him healthy, right? And once again, we've talked about this, H. People really respect and appreciate all across the board just clarity and honesty. And people know when you're jerking them around and when you're not being clear or honest. That comes down from the players, the front office, to the fans. For him not to play game one, there is something you're not telling us. Either he was injured before, he was injured after, or something came up short, something happened. For him not to play game one doesn't make sense, even when it comes to the players, you know. And when you don't say these things and it comes out weeks later, same with Kawhi Leonard, they say, oh, he has a knee injury for the playoffs. Then after the playoff series is over, it's like, oh, he tore his ACL. You're really making him look bad by not being clear. Somebody looks bad, and usually the player gets shorter than the stick, and a lot of times even organization. Now, both parties look bad. You look at making the player look bad and the organization looking bad by not being clear and communicating. This guy is hurt. Something came up, you know, or he was hurt since January or June or August, and, you know, we thought we monitored it and he'd be healthy by this point. But you got to say it when it happens or just be clear and honest. It's not like, oh, we're you know, operating a plan to not play him game one. This is where the plan starts. The first week, he's not going to play. Like, he should be fresh. He's in the best. We just showed us the best shape of his life. He lost 20, 30 pounds. He looks skinny. You're telling me the plan is to not play him the start of the season? Like, I get in the middle of the season or maybe toward the end of the season. That's when you rest. But not to start. He had, you know, 4 months off. These guys have been out of the playoffs since you know, May. So I guess May, June, July, August, September. You have a good 4 months off. Like, why is he not able to start the year as NBA fans, not just Sixers fans? So, yeah, this is one of those things where I said, if the front office just kept it a buck with the players, if the players kept it a buck with front office, and everybody kept it a buck with the fans and the media, which you're not going to get all the time, it just makes things a lot easier and clear. And it said less frustration all around the world of sports. And it said now people talking about, you know, how even with Kawhi, people frustrated in Clippers because, you know, he did the Olympics. He wanted to play there. Joel, he played in the Olympics. He looked fine. What happened from that time till now where he can't play the first week of the season? You know what I'm saying? So I get the frustration. I understand it. Also from not just, you know, media fan, like media heads, basketball fans, but even ex-players. You know, you see KG and Paul Pierce. So I'm like, what? The job is 82 games, man. What are we doing? He said, how does he get away with this? Like, if he can pull it off for the rest of his career, he's not old. But I mean, I get it. So back-to-backs, I'll give him that. But to start a season, I'm just a little concerned. Something is there that they're not saying, and there has to be better communication all across the board. So, yeah, we'll see what comes about, but hopefully they get it together because, you know, obviously we've seen Paul George with the extended knee situation, and now it's Tyrese Maxey kind of by himself. We got Kelly Oubre there. You got a couple other people that help that they picked up that came back. You know, Kyle Lowry came back. They got Reggie Jackson, Andre Drummond off the bench. Yeah, those are good pickups. So, yeah, I'm sure Nick Nurse will figure it out and they'll stay afloat. But ultimately, the start of the season, we want to see the stars. We want to see those guys play from the jump and see who's healthy and what they look like.
Yeah, I totally agree with that sentiment. And one more note before we get to our season predictions. We also got news on Tuesday that Jonathan Kuminga would not sign a rookie contract extension with the Golden State Warriors. We saw a number of deals happen throughout the league. Trey Murphy got an extension with the New Orleans Pelicans. We saw Jalen Green and Alperen Sengun get deals with the Houston Rockets. We saw Jalen Suggs get an extension with the Orlando Magic. But Jonathan Kuminga
did not sign one. All these guys are getting big time money. Jeez, Louise. Yeah. H, if I was just born 10 years, a little bit later, you know what I'm saying? If I was still 27.
Well, it still would have been inflation. It still would have just been inflated. That's all.
Inflation ain't that damn much, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's
true. You know what I'm saying? $100 million deals are going left and right. The houses ain't raised up to $100 million, maybe a million or two. But, bro, what? The inflation in the league is way different from the world inflation.
Yeah. So it is there. The money is definitely different. With that being said, I do find it interesting, though. A lot of these, I think probably Jalen Green thought he was always going to get a rookie max extension. I still think you do have some general manager out there because of the new CBA, a little bit more hesitant to give out that rookie max. Now, they might give you, they'll give you an extension because they want to lock you in. But the rookie max extension, not easily on the table anymore like it used to be. Yes,
very few people. He's very much a reason. Like, he's shown, he's playing franchise guy. He's going to be the next franchise guy for you. So, like, he's shown that. You have to very much prove and show that to get that type of extension.
Oh yeah, no, you definitely have to prove it now. It's not one of those, you can, not one of those speculate, and not one of those things where it's like the agent can kind of hold you, like, kind of basically kind of tell you you got to get this done. I think people understand the new financials of the NBA, and I think that's definitely playing out, and it played out in that circumstance. But the unique one was Jonathan Kuminga, because he did not come to an agreement, and I believe it was because he wanted a larger number, and the Golden State Warriors didn't want to give him that larger number. And then Shams Charania came out with a report, Danny, that Kuminga apparently wants to get compensated along the lines of a rookie max extension, because he believes that he could hit a superstar peak similar to one of those of Kawhi Leonard or Pascal Siakam. You've seen Jonathan Kuminga. What do you think is his max potential?
Exactly that. I mean, he has things you cannot teach. His size and athleticism is unbelievable, man. I've seen nothing like it. And, you know, people, I've gotten to debates in my group chats. A lot of my stuff I bring to the media when I talk to my friends about, and some of the analogies that we bring and some of the jokes. And I had a debate, like, if people were like, oh, you know, he jumps to him, and Andrew Wiggins is very similar. I said, no. He's way more explosive. And Andrew Wiggins is a very explosive player. If you look at the highlights, he's more explosive to me than Andrew Wiggins. You just can't teach that. I said, his work ethic, man, he works. So I could see him being a Pascal or Kawhi. And if he does, if he falls short of that, I'd be shocked. But he's definitely, especially what all these other guys are getting, if you compare it to what you shouldn't compare, but compared to what all these other guys are getting, he deserves the max rookie extension. And if you're not going to give it to him, somebody else will. So Golden State, you're playing with fire, losing this guy. Like, this is a similar to Clippers losing PG type situation.
Yeah, so he's going to end up going to restricted free agency. I think the unique thing, Danny, is I know you've seen him in person, so I can't go against your judgment there. But I will say, he could be that good. But can he be that good with the Golden State Warriors? Because he's going to have to share the floor, not just with Steph Curry. Steph Curry's a...
They're not going to be there that long. They got two or three more years. They got two or three more years.
But Draymond. Man, for sure. But
Draymond's got 2 years. They're going to get it done in 2 years.
Yeah, I understand that. But why would you pay max level contract to a player?
Because you're going to need him.
You're not expecting him to be at that max level. At the very least, if you're the Golden State Warriors, you could push it off for a year. Or better yet, even see what the marketplace does. Because you're going, all right, Jonathan.
All it's going to do
are worth that.
It's cost you more. You wait. The longer you wait, it's going to cost you more. Everything is going up. Yesterday's price ain't today's price. And he's a very rare skill set, rare player that any team would be lucky to have. And said, your older guys are not going to be there after two years. Or they're going to be very much a shell of themselves after 2 years. This is the franchise guy. You need your organization, your franchise, to continue to grow or be good. This is what it looks like when you start over. Him, Wembanyama, like, he's not Wemby, but he is a franchise player. He can be that for them. And if you don't want to treat him that way, somebody else will, trust me.
I guess time will tell. Looking forward to seeing how Golden State Warriors play this season and how they shape out in the Western Conference. Speaking of which, when we come back from break, it's time to do season predictions. We can only do it now. You can do it 2 weeks from now. You got to do it before the season gets started in earnest. So Danny and I giving our season predictions right here on Inside the Green Room when we come back from break.